There's a richness in the last book of the Bible that I can't let go of. It just seems like it only takes a few words out of that book to send my mind reeling in praise and the Spirit. And so, as we continue in the series on the seven assemblies, I've entitled this sermon, "He Searches Our Minds." It comes from the phrase, "I am He who searches the minds and hearts." And as before, Yahshua's exposition to each of the seven assemblies of the book of Revelation in chapters 2 and 3 includes a greeting, a description of the majesty of Yahshua, a statement of his praise for us, a statement of criticism, a warning, an exhortation, and a promise of blessing. We're saving the promises and the blessings for the last in this series. It comes last in his exhortation, so why not? Today, we're reading from Revelation 2, verses 22 and 23, which reads, "Indeed, I will cast her into a sickbed, and those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation, unless they repent of their deeds. I will kill her children with death, and all the assemblies shall know that I am He who searches the minds and hearts. And I will give to each one of you according to your works." Let's read this text, though, in context. And let's go back to verse 18 so we can understand what he's saying here in the context of his discussion about the assembly of Thyatira. Revelation 2:18 begins, "And to the angel," or representative, "of the assembly of Thyatira write, These things says the Son of Yahweh, who has eyes like a flame of fire and his feet like fine brass. I know your works, love, service, faith, and your patience. And as for your works, the last are more than the first." So what are the works Yahshua is speaking of here? They are love, service, faith, and patience. And we previously, in number 6 of the series, reviewed these ideas and discovered that works are extremely important for our salvation, contrary to what is preached out there in the world, that you can't achieve salvation through works. Indeed, works, good works, righteous works, are required for salvation. Consider this. Would we even have a Redeemer if it were not for the works of his obedience to the Father? No. The concept applies just as well to us. Yahshua is our model. He's our leader. He's leading the pack, you might say. We are to follow him in what he does. We are to follow in Yahshua's path. He was obedient to his Father Yahweh. So must we obey the word of Yahweh. The last phrase in verse 19 says, "And as for your works, the last are more than the first." This clearly implies that we are to improve our service to Yahweh as we grow in our caring for others, our trust in Yahshua, and in our ability to endure the trappings of this world. Love, service, faith, and patience. May we never forget that we shall be raised from the grave, that is, born again, born from above, by the mighty hand, the mighty right hand of Yahweh. And who is that? Yahshua is the mighty right hand of Yahweh. Okay, continuing on in verse 20. Nevertheless, like a parent, right? I understand what you did, son. Nevertheless, nevertheless, I have a few things against you. Because you allow that woman Jezebel, and who calls herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit sexual immorality and eat things sacrificed to idols. And I gave her time to repent of her sexual immorality, and she did not repent. These two verses are key in understanding the two verses we are focused on today. In referencing Jezebel, Yahshua is clearly referencing the book of Kings and retelling the story of Jezebel, just one of the many stories about Israel's harlotry and adultery. The many references to sexual immorality have a deeper meaning, of course. Yahweh is comparing the evil of literal sexual immorality to the literal worship of false deities. The idolatry of the Israelites as they inquired and practiced the rituals of the nations surrounding them. Many of these rituals involved acts of sexual depravity, acts which Yahweh commanded the Israelites directly not to do. If you would turn to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 23 and verse 17. Deuteronomy 23 and verse 17. Deuteronomy 23:17 begins, "There shall be no ritual harlot of the daughters of Israel, or a perverted one of the sons of Israel. You shall not bring the wages of a harlot or the price of a dog to the house of Yahweh your Elohim for any vowed offering, for both of these are an abomination to Yahweh your Elohim." Not only is the act that he's describing an abomination, but the price that people pay for those acts, that in itself is an abomination to Yahweh. The term ritual harlot is defined as one practicing sodomy and prostitution in religious rituals. This commandment is for both men and women of Israel, whether it be the literal Israel or the spiritual Israel, those who want to worship Yahweh. The idiom, price of a dog, is a clear reference to the act of homosexuality or sodomy. We have here today an interesting parallel, probably a bunch of them, but how did ancient pagans obtain money to fund their religion? Much of it came through ritual prostitution. Prostitution is one of the leading industries in our world today. You want to call it an industry. But prostitution may not be all sexual in nature, and that's the point. If we defined prostitution as the act of selling any morally deficit service that brings pleasure to its customer, this would include lot of things. It would include those who conspire to sell street drugs, who burglarize, who sell products using unfair scales, anything that basically harms others to get money. If society's morals are in fact based upon the Holy Scriptures, then would it not be reasonable, even necessary, to say that anyone who is teaching contrary to the Scriptures and who is receiving huge sums of money or little money, doesn't matter, is a prostitute, selling something that is only a facsimile of the real thing, which essentially, when we think of typically of prostitution, that's what it is. It's a facsimile of the real thing, which is marriage. If I received a wage and preached contrary to the Scriptures, I would certainly be a prostitute. I don't receive a wage. And even then, if my teachings were not according to Scripture, what would I be? I'd be a whore, a harlot, and a dog if I preached anything that was not true from the Scripture. So I pray continually to Yahweh that I err not in any way in what I preach. If this teaching can apply to me, then it can apply to any preacher, any priest, any pastor, any rabbi, any guru, or any self-proclaimed prophet. I'm speaking to you shepherds out there. If we are teaching the Sunday Sabbath, Christmas, and Easter, that Jesus is the God of the New Testament, and that the God of the Jews has been replaced, or that you can't obtain life in the kingdom of Yahweh through righteous works and true faith, in other words, if you're teaching by grace alone, then you're at risk of losing your entrance into eternal life. Hear me, you good-intentioned ones. Take stock of your faith and consider that your fathers may have taught you lies, that your religions have been altered by the political needs of distant kings, emperors, or men of renown. Read the Scripture for what it says. Set aside what you have been taught and see if the Bible is not the story of Israel, the inheritance of Yahweh, that Yahshua the Messiah came to restore Israel by bringing together the house of Judah and the house of Israel. And that the law of Yahweh given to Moses is alive and well as written from Genesis to Revelation. Do that and contact me and tell me what you've discovered. Let's go to Revelation again. Revelation 22 and verse 14 reads, "Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life, and may enter through the gates into the city. But outside are dogs and sorcerers, and sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters, and whoever loves and practices a lie." Outside of the kingdom. But blessed are those who do his commandments. Yahweh adores his inheritance, spiritual Israel, those who follow Yahshua and obey the commandments of Yahweh. Yahweh writes, his love story in Ezekiel 16, verses 1 through 30. Read that on your own. It takes a long time to read through that, but it's a wonderful story about Yahweh nurturing this child, Israel. Now going to the verses for today, back to Revelation chapter 2 and verse 22. 22 and 23. "Indeed, I will cast her into a sickbed, and those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation, unless they repent of their deeds. I will kill her children with death, and all the assembly shall know that I am he who searches the minds and hearts, and I will give to each one of you according to your works. Indeed, I will cast her into a sickbed." She, of course, is in reference to Jezebel, who symbolizes the worship of Baal, often symbolized in the Scripture as adultery. Now, the word sickbed here is an interpretation. The Greek word there simply means bed. It doesn't read sickbed, but it's been interpreted to mean a sickbed. Some scholars suggest that the word means the bed of the grave. That, of course, would be true, especially in the long run. But for me, though, the fact that the phrase, "and those who commit adultery with her," follows the phrase, "I will cast her into a bed," tells me that there is a connection here. Just think about it. Where do adulterers commit their immoral acts? Yahweh has cast her into a bed where adulterers have access to her. Isn't this symbolism just common sense? Of course. But listen to me now. Where today is that bed? Well, that's easy. Where is false worship being taught today? Where is Baal worshipped today? Whose name is literally translated the Lord. Where are meetings held on the day of the sun deity, Baal? Whose feasts do they honor? Yahweh's appointed times that have been and are prophesied to be fulfilled by Yahshua, the Messiah? Or do they honor the feasts of Baal, one of which is his 8-day feast from his birthday on December 25th to New Year's Eve, January 1st. Another, honoring Baal's equinoctious, prosperous bride, Easter. Where now is this bed of iniquity? Where the marriage of the Lamb is being defiled, where in all of its material glory, adultery reigns. Now, as condemnatory as my words might be received, especially by those hearing this message who attend such congregations, please know that I am not speaking to you as a judge. But I am speaking to you as one crying in the wilderness, as the one to whom Yahweh said in Isaiah 40, comfort ye my people, saith your Elohim. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned. For she hath received of Yahweh's hand double for all her sins. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of Yahweh, make straight in the desert a highway for our Elohim. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. And the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of Yahweh shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of Yahweh hath spoken it. The voice said, cry. And he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of Yahweh bloweth upon it. Surely the people, that is, the nation, is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our Elohim shall stand for how long? Forever. O Zion, that bringest good tidings, get thee up into the high mountains. O Jerusalem, that bringest good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up, be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, or Yehuda, the cities of the worshippers of Yahweh, behold your Elohim. Behold, Almighty Yahweh will come with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. Who is it who's at Yahweh's right hand? Verse 11, he shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arms, and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those who are with young. It is Yahweh who is speaking to you. I am but a messenger. I am not lying to you, but speaking the truth from the word of Yahweh. And I stand up, willing to be thrown into the lake of fire if my testimony is false. Can you say the same? Ask yourself, who taught you? Did Yahweh teach you out of His word? Or were you taught by a collection of men who traced their knowledge to the personal ambitions of kings, emperors, and men of political aspiration? These latter teachers, I contend, lay in the bed of Jezebel and commit the adultery of the wayward bride. The seven foolish virgins and the priests of Baal. These are strong words. These are powerful words. If you can hear them, if you have a mind to grasp that Yahweh loves you and He's given you a way of being in this world, and that He expects us all to be in accordance with His word. He wants us as children in His kingdom. Hebrews 13 and 4 says, marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers Yahweh will judge. This word is much more than a warning to married couples. It is a spiritual admonition to obey Yahweh. Listen to it again. Hebrews 13, verse 4. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers Yahweh will judge. Are you married to the Father? Do you have a covenant of obedience with Him? That would be marriage. And that marriage and obedience is undefiled. But if you adulterate the law of Yahweh and find other ways to worship or be in this world, then you will be judged. Going back to the book of Revelation in chapter 2, verse 22, it reads, and will cast those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation. Yahweh will cast those who adulterate His law into great tribulation. Who will suffer in the tribulation that is coming? That is the tribulation proceeding and following the coming of Yahshua the Messiah. Go to the book of Matthew in chapter 7 and verse 21. Reads, not everyone who says to me, Master, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Master, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice what? You who practice lawlessness. So whose law is it that those who fail to practice are told to depart? Whose indeed? The entire scripture is about practicing the law of Yahweh. Yahshua came in the exact likeness of Yahweh and obeyed every yod and tittle of the law of Yahweh. We were created in the image of Yahweh ourselves. Whose law do you think we are to obey? The last phrase in Revelation 2:22 is an open door. It is a way out of a life of sin. It is the way to avoid being cast into the lake of fire. It says, unless they repent of their deeds. In some version it says, unless they repent of her deeds. Still the message is, turn away from the practices of the heathen who worship the sun deity and the queen of heaven. Turn, if you will, to the book of Amos in chapter 8, in verse 9. Amos, chapter 8, and verse 9, reads, and it shall come to pass in that day, says Almighty Yahweh, that I will make the sun go down at noon, and I will darken the earth in broad daylight. I will turn your feasts into mourning, and all your songs into lamentation. I will bring sackcloth on every waist and baldness on every head. I will make it like mourning, M-O-U-R-N-I-N-G, for an only son, grieving for an only son, and its end like a bitter day. Verse 11, behold, the days are coming, says Almighty Yahweh, that I will send a famine on the land. Not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of Yahweh. They shall wander from sea to sea and from north to east. They shall run to and fro, seeking the word of Yahweh, but will not find it. How sad is that? Is it not because of how we as this nation, as people who have gone to churches, are we not trained up in a different way than Yahweh? Is it not difficult to hear the words of Yahweh and be obedient to them? What does it mean to give up what we've come to understand and believe? What does it mean when we've had deep emotions surrounding the celebration of Christmas and Easter and Sunday worship? How hard, how difficult is that to do? Even those who seek truth can't find the word of Yahweh. Why? I think that it's too great a sacrifice. What do you have to give up to follow Yahweh, to follow Yahshua? What do you have to give up? You have to give up your family. You may have to give up your job. You probably have to give up your friends. If you're preaching the word and earning a wage to preach something as false, how difficult is that to give up? It's not an easy thing. I want you to understand the consequences, though, for raising your hand against Yahweh. Revelation 2 and verse 23 begins, I will kill, another word for kill, another meaning for that is to destroy. I will kill her children. Now the word children there is also a metaphor. It means that which you honor and protect, right? As parents, do we not honor and protect our children? Well, that word there means to honor and protect. With death, and figuratively, death means put an end to. And all the assembly shall know that I am he who searches the minds and hearts. So the meaning, the deeper meaning of that verse is, I will, the verse which reads, I will kill her children with death, is, I will destroy that which you honor and protect. and put an end to the ways of Jezebel. Essentially, that's what he's saying there when he says, I will kill her children with death. I will destroy that which you honor and protect and put an end to the ways of Jezebel. Yahweh will do that. But Yahweh gives us choice. From the beginning, he offers us life or death. Life in response to obedience to his word, and death for disobedience to his word, written in the Tanakh and in the renewed covenant. The next phrase in Revelation 2:23 is, and all the assembly shall know that I am he who searches the minds and hearts. The day will come when Yahshua returns, and every person shall know which side of the fence he is on. For those who obey the law of Yahweh and are of the faith of Yahshua, life, the chaim. For those who raise their hands against Yahweh, those who have received the knowledge of the truth, but have turned away to fleshly pursuits, it'll be too late. Their fortune, which coincidentally is the Hebrew word God, will be consummation in the lake of fire. Or consumption. They will be consumed in the lake of fire. Finally, Yahshua states, and I will give to each one of you according to your works. Amazingly, Yahweh has placed our lives and our deaths in our hands. It won't work to defend yourself on the day of the white throne judgment by saying, the devil made me do it. James chapter 4, verse 1. James 4, verse 1 reads, where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war. Yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. Adulterers and adulteresses, think adulterating the word of Yahweh, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with Yahweh? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of Yahweh. Or do you think that the scripture says, in vain, the spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously? You have to ask yourself, what spirit is dwelling in you? Do you yearn jealously for life's pleasures, or do you yearn jealously for truth in the way of Yahweh? And finally, in verse 6 of James 4, but he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, Yahweh, if you resist the proud, I'm sorry, it says, Yahweh resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And that's from Proverbs. James is quoting Proverbs 3:34. I'm ending the story here for the time being. I'm leaving out the final chapter, where Yahweh steps in at the last moment and rescues his bride, that is, all of Israel, from the mouth of the dragon, Satan. I'm ending the story here because I see the world in this very state, a state of evil. In this world, evil reigns. Pride is victorious. Mankind is in a fallen state. And it may be that in death we find peace, but there is a second death reserved for the unrighteous. However, there is a second life reserved for those who repent, who turn from those things that Yahweh detests, who return to Yahweh and seek His face in order to do His will. There is eternal life for those who acknowledge the life and sacrifice of the one who Yahweh sent to be the propitiation for our sins. There is eternal life for those who sing the song of Moses, the servant of Yahweh, and the song of the Lamb. There is eternal life for those who obey the law of Yahweh and are of the faith of Yahshua. Hallelujah.